Well, tonight on Coast to Coast, we're going to talk about prophecy and the apocalypse with L.A. Marzulli. Get ready as we talk about his work, Watchers 2, Signs in the Heavens and Earth, on Coast to Coast AM. L.A. Marzulli, best-selling author of the Nephilim Trilogy, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, The Coming Great Deception and the Luciferian Endgame. His nonfiction ebook is The Alien Interviews, and he is one of our fantastic guests. He's also got another book out in the DVDs as well, Watchers 2, Signs in the Heaven. That goes with Watchers 1, UFOs Are Real. L.A. Marzulli back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Lynn, how are you?
I'm great, George. Thanks for having me on.
Good, good. Yeah, the flu bug's chasing everybody in the Midwest. I'm battling it off, but I've been sneezing lately. I hope it's just an allergy. How about you?
Well, I've got a little cough thing happening here. Hopefully I won't have to use the mute button so much tonight, but other than that, I'm doing great.
See, if you're in the studio with me, it'd be easy. We just push the button together.
There you go.
Hey, tell me about Watchers 2.
Well, Watchers 2, Signs in the Heavens and Earth, basically what we're looking at, we're watching all the stuff going on this planet. I mean, I'll just give you a quick overview here. I've actually been keeping tabs for the last 20 days, just sort of a running list of disasters that are happening on the planet. Basically, famines, pestilence, wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, volcanic activity. Watchers 2, and I think it's the only DVD out there, it's looking at everything that's happening on a global level and basically poses the question, you know, guys, is it just business as usual or is it something more? I mean, are all these earthquakes, and we look at what alarms me is when we look at the 9.0 in Haiti, and then you go down to Chile, same thing, 9.0, go to Christchurch, I think it was like 8-point-something, pop over to Japan, 9.0,
huge,
and just this week, the Aleutians at 7.8. I mean, this thing's traveling in a circle, it seems to be, and now we're talking about quakes. I mean, is it really business as usual, or is it something more? Do ancient prophetic texts warn of the time that we're living in? And, of course, you know where I'm coming from, and I think that, and I say this with I wouldn't have said this 3 years ago, but I'm saying it now. I believe that we're in what's called a period of time called the birth pangs. We're not in Kansas anymore, and that's what Watchers 2 is about, briefly.
Well, and you're right. We are being encircled by all these events. They're everywhere. You know, you started off with May 21st, continuing onward. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what the end of this year would be like, L.A., at this rate, at this pace?
I mean, I stopped a couple of days ago at 126, and it wasn't everything. I mean, it was just the ones that caught my eye. But we look at, like, the earthquakes at 7.0 or 6.3, and striking in odd places. We look at the aftershocks outside the Fukushima reactor in Japan, ongoing, almost on a daily basis. There's another quake there. We're looking at, and I'd never heard of this before. I mean, I've heard of hailstones the size of baseballs, softballs. When I was in Oklahoma City a couple of weeks ago, filming a television show on Watchers 2, and they had just, you know, the tornadoes had just ripped through that area.
Yeah.
They were reporting hailstones literally the size of melons, cantaloupe melons. I mean, I've never heard anything like that before.
Well, insurance companies love that, L.A., because when they hit cars, you're talking about a lot of damage.
That's it. I mean, you know, a melon-sized hailstone. And so the bottom line is I look at this thing called disaster. I'm going to go there now on my iPad. And what's alarming to me is it's at a glance, one can look at the entire globe and see kind of what's happening. Now, they're not exhaustive. They don't do everything. But the United States is getting to the point where I can barely see it anymore. There's so many fires and flooding. Of course, the fires in New Mexico, Texas, Colorado, on the East Coast, Florida, North Carolina, and then the flooding up in North Dakota, obviously the Missouri River, and one of the nuke plants. And it just amazes me what they say. It's like everything's fine. And we've got a man who we've been in communication to up in that area by the Calhoun nuke plant, and he's saying, look, it looks like they've got everything under control. Let's hope that's the case. Same thing with the Los Alamos nuke plant. Of course, that's being threatened by a fire, not by flood. But it seems like that's okay, too. But, you know, we were told that it's Fukushima. And, you know, let's just hope that nothing happens. I don't want to spread alarm here, but wow, I mean, the snowpack has not melted yet in Montana, and that the Missouri River has not yet crested. Are we looking at 2 feet, 3 feet, 5 feet? And, you know, I watch this stuff on a daily basis, and what amazes me, absolutely amazes me, is that we're breaking records all over the place. Well, you know, the flooding that was done in the 1800s now is that level is a new record was set this week. And I think April, I read this from the United States government, put out a report that April was the weirdest weather month, most deadly weather month, almost in American history, since they've been tracking the weather. What I mean by that, 500 tornadoes that ripped through the South and different parts of the Midwest and stuff. And we look at the rain and the snow and all these other factors. There was snow in the last day of spring in Colorado. I mean, look, I guess what I'm trying to say is this. If it was just one item, just one thing, let's say like we could deal with the Haitian earthquake, and then that was it, and we could deal with that, right? We bring in our guys and we kind of fix things. But most people don't realize there's an aftermath to these things, and right now there's a million people living in tents in Haiti. And so, you know, it's not they haven't gone back to life before that devastating Tumblr hit. They haven't. But what we're seeing is it's not just one Haiti. You got the Chilean earthquake, the Christchurch earthquake, the Fukushima. Now we're up in the Aleutian Islands. You've got fires in Russia. And what's really alarming to me, George, and I think this is, again, tracking this stuff, to me it seems unprecedented. It seems like it's not business as usual. It seems like we're in the birth pangs. All of these global events are impacting the commodities. Food prices are rising on the rise, which is why I tell people now's the time to start stocking up on stuff because they're going to need it.
We've been saying that for 5 months now.
Absolutely. You know, we look at what's going on, let's say, in Greece with the collapse of that country's economic infrastructure. And what we see there is riots and lawlessness and discord. And, you know, we also know that Portugal and Spain, and we saw stuff happen in the riots happening in the UK earlier this year. And we see the lawlessness happening in this country where gangs of thugs will roam the streets with cans of mace and spray it in a person and just wail on that person. Or, you know, the robbing and all this. In my opinion, it's unprecedented. And then we see on the other hand, you know, TSA taking a 95-year-old grandmother and, you know, making sure she gets that diaper off that there's not a bomb in it. I mean, it's happening on so many different levels. But Watchers 2 really focuses on the disasters. I mean, the bird deaths, the fish deaths, the animal deaths, the eccentricity of the lunar surface. And we really tried to track that story down. I mean, we were when my co-producer and good friend Richard Shaw, you know, called me up. This is during the winter solstice in 2010. And said, "Man, it looks like the moon's doing something funny." I go, "Oh, come on, Richard. You know, give me a break." And we started looking at this thing, and other people were posting videos on YouTube. The moon looks weird. So we called the Jet Propulsion Lab, Griffith Observatory, Pepperdine University, UCLA. And we're just trying to ask some questions. It's basically all we're doing. It's like, hey, guys, what's going on here? And we got the door slammed in our face. Finally, we found this paper written by an Italian scientist by the name of Lorenzo Iorio, Dr. Lorenzo Iorio. And it basically talks about the eccentricity of a lunar surface and saying that there seems to be a body coming into our solar system, which is affecting the lunar surface. In other words, did it shift 135 degrees? Iorio seems to vindicate that, yes, it has. And again, this goes back to these ancient prophecies 2,000 years ago that talk about there will be signs in the heaven and men fainting from fear from what is coming on the earth. And when we plug in Planet X, Nibiru, Elenin, Comet Honda, and others that seem to be manifesting in the skies. I mean, what are we really looking at? It's alarming, in my opinion.
L.A., let's talk a little bit about prophecy along with apocalypse. Apocalypse seems to always revolve around tragedies and earth events. Mm-hmm. But there are other signs out there, too, that are more human-related, aren't they?
Well, I mean, if you mean by human-related, what we're looking at, certainly in the Middle East, a year ago, if someone had said to me, the nations of the Middle East are going to erupt and there'll be this great unrest on the Arab street in the Muslim world, I just wouldn't have believed it. And I think it's caught everyone by surprise. And certainly what we look at with the deposing of Hosni Mubarak in Egypt, the overthrow of a Tunisian government. Now it's spreading, obviously, Libya. Gaddafi is still fighting to stay there, but it's everywhere. This is Saudi Arabia. We see that Syria has opened up live ammunition, not rubber bullets, not tear gas. The death toll could possibly be in the thousands. Last time I checked, it was at least 1,000 people, excuse me, who were mowed down by the Syrian government. I would put that number much higher. We look at the unrest in Yemen. We see that Iran is testing long-range missiles that are capable of hitting Europe and certainly Israel and defense forces, U.S. defense forces in Afghanistan. It's certainly tenuous times. Where is this unrest in the Middle East going to lead? We know that the Arabs call the Al-Nakba Day, which is this day of catastrophe when Israel became a nation in 1948. And there was a thing called the Third Intifada. I actually blogged on that and talked about it and watched this thing. And it was sort of a non-event. There were some incidents, but it wasn't what they were hoping. Several months prior to that, in Tahrir Square in Egypt, 1.5 million Egyptians and other Muslims got together in Tahrir Square and chanted, and I vetted this, by the way, "To Jerusalem we go, martyrs in the millions." Again, this ties back into ancient prophetic texts which talk about in the latter days, these nations coming up against Israel. What's fascinating to me, George, is that before 1948, I mean, you couldn't make these, obviously, you were in a time where these prophecies just could not possibly exist because Israel didn't exist.
Right. You needed that to jumpstart it.
That's the key.
Well, here we go. And it's underway, and there's not much we can do to stop it, or is there?
Well, let me say this, that And we've talked about this analogy before, and I'll credit to where this, the first time I heard it was by a man by the name of Chuck Smith, who talked about this this little way of viewing prophecy. Let's say we're watching a parade, the Macy's parade, right? And we're down on the street level, and we're seeing the floats come by one at a time. Well, that's how we view time. We view it in a linear way. We really can't see in the future. We remember the past, right? But we see things happening in a linear fashion because we're bound by the space-time continuum in which we live. Einstein tells us this. However, the closer we get to the speed of light, time slows down. And some people postulate if we could attain the speed of light, time wouldn't exist at all. Well, what happens if there's a being or a group of beings that are outside our space-time continuum? So the analogy would be these guys are up in a helicopter. They see the whole parade from beginning to end.
Right.
And what they're doing is writing down, oh, by the way, float number 6 is going to be the Mickey Mouse float. And we sit there and go, well, how can we change that? Is there anything we do to alter it? No, because time, they're seeing time progress. It's still free will. Everybody's doing what they want to do. But doggone it, that 6th float's going to be the Mickey Mouse float. Well, what amazes me about these ancient prophetic texts is that there's so much specificity with them. It's not fuzzy, and with all due respect to the Nostradamians out there, but it's not fuzzy quatrains that it could mean this, it could mean that, or they spell Hitler's name as Hister, which could be actually designated a area in the Rhine and has nothing to do with Hitler. But these prophecies have great specificity. They call out nations, they call out events. They say things like a land without unwalled villages, which was in the ancient world just non-existent. They just did not exist, and on it goes. What I find interesting. And takes a couple of minutes to lay this down.
Yeah, please, go ahead.
Is that when it says in the prophecies, there'll be wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times, men fainting from fear from what is coming on the earth. Okay. The nations perplexed by the tossing of the waves. Great. So you say to yourself, well, let's go back to when that time was written. Well, first of all, it's impossible to track anything back then. And let's bring it closer to home. Go back 400 years. And let's say you're a captain of a British fleet, right, a trading fleet, and you're in Japan, and your guy that's there says to you as you dock your ship, and he says, you can't believe it. There's an earthquake that was here several weeks ago. It was followed by a tsunami. It wiped out all of our goods. It killed you don't know how many thousands of people. And you go, oh, my gosh, and you get off your ship, and you survey some of the damage. You then, and this guy, you know, your man on the ground in Japan, has this scroll, which he's written with pen and ink, a quill pen, on the scroll, rolls up the scroll, puts some sealing wax on it. You take this scroll, and you're going to sail back now to to England and let everybody know about this devastating earthquake that happened in Japan. It takes you 3 months, maybe 4 months, depending on the weather, to get from Japan to England. You come up the Thames River, you unroll the scroll, you give it to the appropriate authorities. They read it one mouth at a time, and news is, you know, disseminated that way 400 years ago. Well, there's no way to track any of this stuff 400 years ago. You can't track earthquakes in diverse places 400 years ago. That's what makes the prophecy absolutely, in my opinion, so pregnant with meaning, and it points to a time where another prophecy says that knowledge will increase. Men will run to and fro over the face of the earth, and knowledge will increase. So we're living in a time where, wow, we see these events happen at the speed of light, literally. Communications move at satellite speed, at internet speed. So something happens. Remember when the Chilean miners were rescued, everyone in the world, it was a global event. We all watched it on live television.
And it was dramatic, wasn't it?
Absolutely dramatic. Unbelievable. So here we are. And what amazes me is that you go back before the modern era, there is absolutely no way to track any of this stuff. There just wasn't. If an earthquake happened in Japan or you know, let's say off in the Aleutian Islands like this week or late last week, there's no way to track that. There's no way to keep a graph and plot this stuff. Now there is. Now I can sit here and look at this, these stories that come over the internet on a daily basis, and I look at it and I go back 2 years ago and look at the same same sort of news cycle, and we're not seeing it's a whole, we're not in Kansas anymore, in my opinion. This thing is gone through the roof. I truly believe. And what's interesting, I'm not the only guy saying this. There are other people who travel in these prophecies looking at this stuff and agree that we are now in the birth pangs. And birth pangs to what? Birth pangs to that 7-year period known as the tribulation, where the apocalypse really does happen. Last time I was on your show, we were talking about Harold Camping's May 21st event, and I went on the record then and said, without any equivocation on my part whatsoever, that this was an absolute bunch of nonsense, bunch of hooey. Nothing was going to happen on May 21st.
And now he's moved the date to October 20th.
And it's just insane. The problem with this is it usurps, and I take umbrage in this because it usurps other people in the field like myself and others, like Chuck Messer, whom you've had on your show, and Stan Deo, whom you've had on your show. And these guys are looking at the signs and trying to warn people and saying, hey, folks, this is not business as usual. And they believe, as I do, that we are now – I had Stan on my show a couple of weeks ago, in fact, last week, and we both agree that we are in the birth pangs. And I know Mr. believes that, too, without sticking words in his mouth. I know that he believes that we are in the birth pangs. Something is going on. We are in unprecedented, uncharted waters, George. And what we're seeing is that these events continue at just a staccato pace, one after another, bam, 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 bam. One on top of another. I've never seen anything like it. It's almost impossible.
How can people continue to take it, L.A.? Because you're right. It's like being in a boxing match and you're getting punched to death.
Well, what we see is that, at least in this country, people are distracted by the Casey Anthony trial, by Wiener's Wiener, by Arnold Schwarzenegger's love child, and on it goes. The Blago trial, one of the stories, will Blago get to keep his haircut? Hairstyle in prison. It's unbelievable.
And stay with us. Take a little break. We're going to come back with L.A. Marzulli in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM as we talk about his new work, Watchers 2, Signs in the Heavens and the Earth, The Apocalypse and Prophecy on Coast to Coast AM. We shall be right back. With L.A. Marzulli, our special guest, as we talk about prophecy and the apocalypse, hey, you can become a Coast Insider and have lots of fun for just 25 cents or less a day. Simply go up to coasttocoastam.com and fill out the information, and there you are. We'll be back in a moment with L.A. on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go through some of these events, L.A., then we'll take phone calls early next hour to help relieve you a little bit so you can get a little voice savings in between. Earthquakes, they're increasing, the intensities everywhere. The Ring of Fire's on fire in terms of earthquakes. What do you think's going on there?
Well, and this to me is extremely alarming. When we look at the Ring of Fire, and we talked about this in the first segment, we look at Haiti and Chile and Christchurch and Japan and now the Aleutian Islands, and we know the Cascadia Fault and the San Andreas Fault. and we haven't not had the big one. And I'm not being a prophet here, and I'm not saying that, you know, watch out, California, but it would not surprise me, and I really hope I'm wrong. I mean, I don't, you know, relish in any of this stuff, but I am alarmed at what I see, and it would not surprise me if California got hit with something 7.8, 8.2, something like that, in the not-too-distant future.
Well, I actually want to be there for it. I don't want to sound like a masochist, but I really would feel weird if I was in St. Louis or Hawaii broadcasting and something happens in L.A. where, you know, my home base is.
Sure, sure. And I'm in the Santa Monica Mountains, so I'm, you know, in very close proximity to, you know, LAX and Los Angeles proper. The last one that really shook the thing, a Northridge quake, you know, I'll never forget it. It was the whole house was moving. But we're on a rock here up in the Santa Monica Mountains. But who knows? You know, I'm not trying to be a prognosticator of events here, but it wouldn't surprise me because this thing seems to be traveling in a circle. And we go from Christchurch to Fukushima to the Aleutian Islands, and it's coming down into the Cascadia or the San Andreas. And, you know, what amazes me, George, is the fact that this stuff happens on a weekly level. Almost every 10 days we get a 7.0 or greater somewhere on the planet. And again, going back to that prophecy, now we can track these earthquakes and we can see that there seems to be an increase. I mean, a definite increase in not only the frequencies of earthquakes, but the number on the Richter scale is climbing. When was the last time? And look, I'm 60 years old. I can't remember a series of 9.0s like this, one after another, bam, 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 within like a year and a half of each other. It's just,
well,
I think
not only that, though, LA, not only that, but I can't think of a time where also the world was in total chaos. You know, people are strange. Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about this before, that they're just not acting right. You know, things that are supposed to be up or down, and down, or, you know, down is up. You know, so in addition to all these events that we're going to be talking about with you tonight, people are weirded out. And I'm beginning to wonder if there's something magnetic or something on this planet that's affecting people's brains.
Well, it gets into the animal and fish die-off. Why are all these fish dying? Why are all the animals dying? Why are birds dropping out of the sky? And then we find out, we talk about this in Watchers too. We know for a fact that magnetic north, not the pole, but magnetic north, has shifted at least 40 miles to the point where, and I call the Tampa airport, and you know, lo and behold, the airport, you know, the compass has shifted. The airport, they're not moving the runways, but they're painting a different numbers on the runways so that pilots can, excuse me, calibrate north. So we know that that's happened. Is there an earth wobble? Is the sun doing weird stuff? We see solar flares. I've never seen... There's like an angst that you can see on the freeways. There's an anxiousness at the gas pumps. There's a tension. And not everywhere. I mean, you can go to Starbucks and it's business as usual. I get it. But, you know, you get on the freeways in Los Angeles and you just feel it. You know, there's like a tension in some people. And what amazes me, again, is how, you know, we're shown Wiener's Wiener, Casey Anthony, Schwarzenegger, whatever, OJ, whoever. You know, whoever the clown is this week, Charlie Sheen, that they throw up in front of us. Meanwhile, you know, what people don't realize is that this flooding in the Mississippi has inundated so much farmland. There are no crops planted. And I've talked to people up in this area. No one's planting anything. I mean, it's how is that going to impact the commodities? The fires in Russia, according to research that I've done, this year are worse than 2010. How is that, again, going to impact the commodities? And what people need to remember, and I realize it's half a world away, but people need to remember that the Arab Spring, the riots in the Arab world were touched off in Tunisia because of rising food prices. You can't feed your family.
That's
people
right.
Get desperate.
And somebody playing around with the internet, right?
That's it. That's it.
Dramatic indeed. All right, let's talk about the moon for a little bit. You touched on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do the ancient texts say about this?
Well, let me give you one of them. Two of them. The first one basically tells us that there'll be signs in the heavens and earth. And it doesn't tell you what signs they are, but it says that there'll be signs in the heavens. And certainly if the lunar, and I say if, you know, we have one paper from a scientist who seems to say that the lunar surface is doing things that it shouldn't be doing. But then we go to a book which is found not part of, let's say, the biblical canon per se, but widely read and also quoted in the Christian Bible. And rabbis certainly knew this. And we go back to the Book of Enoch, which was found on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it's very, very interesting. And it talks about the moon changing, doing weird things. Let me read it to you. And in those days the sun shall be seen, and he shall journey in the evening. And the moon shall alter her order and not appear at her time. That's bizarre. I mean, that is really bizarre to read something like that and then to look at what we have in Watchers 2, where it appears that the lunar surface is rotated 135 degrees. How can that possibly be? How can the moon do that and then come back up again? And what amazed us is when we were shooting this thing, we got other videos from different YouTubers saying exactly the same thing. I mean, no collaboration between any of us. They're posting this stuff going, you know, I'm out here in Detroit looking at the moon, and my gosh, it looks weird. Somebody else in another part of the country going, I'm looking at the moon, and I've never seen it like this before. One guy's going, it's weird, 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 man. And it is weird. And again, we call JPL, Pepperdine University, Griffith Observatory, UCLA, just asking some questions. Hey, does anyone know anything about this? And we realize that the moon can do all sorts of things in phases. I get all that. Okay, I understand all that. And it, through the year, how it can move in the shadows. I understand all that, but it doesn't. And this is why it was so fascinating with Dr. Lorenzo Aureo's paper talking about the eccentricity of a lunar surface. Obviously, something is going on that's not supposed to be happening. And then we look at the ancient prophetic texts, and what do they warn us of? Signs in the heavens and earth, and the moon will be out of her order. And you know, are we in that window of time? Look, you know, you got to judge for yourself. That's the whole point why we watch Watchers 2, why we made it. What's interesting about this, George, you know, when you write a book, and video is king, I'm convinced of that now. Sure. When you write a book, one person reads it at a time, unless everybody's in the room and someone's reading out loud and they're following along. When was the last time that happened? Junior high school? So what's great about Watchers 2, you can invite all the skeptics that you want, you know, into the room, and the family who's, you know, who looks at a lot of us on Coast and, you know, people who listen to your show and people who look at my stuff, they give you the deer in the headlights look or the eyeball roll, you know, and when you're trying to warn them of what's coming on. Well, what's great about the DVD is it's like, hey, just sit back and look at it and make your own judgment call. I mean, is Richard Shaw and L.A. Marzulli completely bonkers here? And all the other people that they bring into the DVD, Missler and Lear and Willemsen, all people, Stan Dale, all people have been on your show before. Obviously, we're all talking about the same thing and trying to warn people that we're moving into uncharted waters here, and we can pretend that everything's normal and be distracted with Charlie Sheen and Casey Anthony and all this other stuff, or we can begin to look at what's going on and say, you know, maybe I should get 4 to 6 months worth of food. Maybe I should stockpile. Maybe I should get, you know, talk to some neighbors and find out if the unthinkable happens, what are we going to do type of plans. And that's nothing wrong with that. It's not being crazy. It's being prepared.
Well, it is being prepared. You know, with Watchers too, and you know, and we've been reporting on things like this, LA, for years, but the mainstream media doesn't seem to jump on that. How come?
Well, there seems to be, in my opinion, a deliberate obfuscation. And I've talked to people about this, and I think some of it, well, it's twofold. The first leg is this, that they don't want to create panic with the population, which makes a lot of sense. I saw recently a program when someone was saying, why isn't Obama warning people of the coming economic collapse in America? Why isn't Obama, our president, or our leaders telling us to prepare? And frankly, they should be. With when we see the look, what do you think they're writing in Greece right now? And there's complete anarchy over there. Commodities, prices are going up, up, up. That's people right. Can't pay them. So the first reason is not to cause the panic. So, you know, bread and circus. It's like, which story should be leading off, let's say, on the Los Angeles Times? Should it be something about Wiener's Wiener, or should it be about the rising floodwaters in the Calhoun nuclear plant in Missouri? Well, to me, it's a no-brainer. It should be that. And you know, maybe the maybe that nuke plant is fine and the waters are you know, at bay and nothing's going to happen. But, I mean, my gosh, it's a no-brainer. And yet our media deliberately gives us bread and circus and distracts most of most people are distracted. Look, I have friends when I begin to mention this stuff, you know, they get very uncomfortable. They
well, but most people, L.A., though, would rather not this audience. I've got to tell
not
you.
Not this audience. You know, thank God for this audience.
Yeah, exactly. But most people out there would prefer to listen to the Wiener story
yep.
or something else.
Yep.
And they're going to get stuck one day when something happens, because I think it's going to be a coast audience, as Richard Hoagland always says, that's going to lead the pack. And you know what? They're going to be way ahead of the ballgame.
Definitely ahead of the curve. I mean, people listening to this broadcast, people who get watchers are getting armed. People who, you know, buy not only my books, but the other people that you have on this show are getting prepared from what is coming. Again, I believe, and that's what Watchers 2 is about, that we are in uncharted, tenuous, tumultuous, unprecedented times. It's not business as usual. I just want to read you, again, this is just a partial list, and I'm just going to kind of skip around here. A little bit. Syria troops fire in the crowd kills 33. Tornadoes kill 3 in Massachusetts. When was the last time you heard of tornadoes?
How about bombing today in Kabul?
There you go.
In a hotel.
Exactly. Record NATO deaths in early Afghan fighting. Total volcanic horror. Another 200 tons of fish found dead Tuesday night. Solar activity rages as world awaits rare midnight eclipse. Shanghai sees lowest level of rainfall in 138 years. Virulent E. coli strain puzzles health officials in Europe. Sudan fighting displaces 35,000 children. UN wars cotton wheat crop threatened by strange alien weed, and it's not extraterrestrial. Fukushima debacle warned risk Chernobyl dead zone as radiation, and on it goes. I mean, there's 125 or 126 that I listed, and I had a researcher, Savannah Miller, do the same thing. She's got links to all these stories. So it's like, you know, people can go to my blog site, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, after the show, and do your own research. I mean, tell me I'm crazy. Tell me that it's just everything's fine, L.A. There's no problem here. It's business as usual. Baloney, it's business as usual, in my opinion. These are the birth pangs. And, I mean, I've never really come out on your show and stated, like, we are in something. I think that we're in this window of time known as the birth pangs, and it leads to the tribulation. And it has at that point, you know, George, we get in the And in Watchers too, we talk a little bit about the, you know, the Jerusalem UFO thing, but the whole ET thing, the whole alien gospel, which I've written about, and we've talked on this show, the whole idea of the coming great deception, which I've talked about on this show, it's all linked together. People will be crying out for some sort of a savior. We can get into this. Actually, a new piece of information that I think I discovered, or sort of put some prophecies together, talking about the mark of the beast. Maybe in the next hour we could talk a little bit about that. I think you'll find that fascinating.
Okay.
But this is, in my opinion, again, it's we're not in Kansas anymore. I keep saying that. It's trying to shake people, wake them up, get them out of their comfort zone, watch the DVD, do your own homework. You know, wake up. Something is happening globally to this planet, and it's not normal. It's not, we're not, it's just not business as usual.
Does it bother you, or are you going to make it through this?
Well, I believe I'm going to make it through it on some level. That gets into the whole, and this is, I really don't even want to open up this can of worms, but I'll just kind of allude to it. There are ancient prophetic texts that say very specifically, behold, I tell you a mystery. Not everyone shall die. Okay, not everyone shall die, but some who are living in a twinkling of an eye will be caught up in the air to meet Yeshua, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's what that prophecy says. And, of course, some people call that the rapture. And, you know, we're looking at that, and skeptics will look at that and just have a field day with this, because our good friend Harold Camping set a date, May 21st, and, of course, nothing happened. The bottom line is, I think we can know the season and the time, but we certainly can't know the day or the hour. And where I'm at with this whole thing is there's so much going on. Let's focus on what's going on and try to warn others. And if we do get taken up, and I believe we do at some point in time, that's none of my business, literally. I mean, I have no control of that. If it happens, it's like I'm maybe a participant in that event, but I'm certainly not making that event happen. So it's interesting.
Just don't sound like camping, would you?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
Don't sound like Harold Camping.
No.
Please don't go there. That's not going to happen. I want to talk with you about this comet, Elenin, and also about what's going on with the sun as well. What are you hearing about this approaching comet?
Well, again, it's very, very difficult to get straight answers out of anybody. Planet X, Nibiru, Elenin, Comet Honda. You know, Honda, we know it's there. Elenin seems to be there. Dr. Lorenzo Iorio, which we've talked about a little bit this hour, believes that the eccentricity of a lunar surface and perhaps the Earth wobble or the magnetic pole shift at 40 miles in a year might be caused by these bodies entering our solar system. Now, at some point, and this is what I love about all this stuff, we can speculate till the cows come home. We all can do that. Oh, it's this, it's Nibiru, it's the Sumerian text, it's the at some point, all this stuff becomes self-evident. At some point in time, it becomes self-evident, where everyone looks at it and goes, oh my gosh, we're seeing two suns, and I'm looking at them, and you're looking at them. Or, you know, we're experiencing a pole shift or a part of a pole shift or whatever. Or we look up and we see a very large body, a planet, whatever, in the night sky or in the daytime next to the sun. Remember, prophecy tells us that there'll be signs in the heavens and earth, men fainting from fear. Think about that, George. Men fainting from fear from what is coming on the earth. Now, I realize it's vague in the sense that, well, it could be three wild-eyed mothership. I mean, that would make anybody faint, right? Or flotilla of three-mile-wide motherships. But it also could be talking about what we talked about a little bit about in the Book of Enoch, where we're seeing the lunar surface act in a very eccentric way, Comet Elenin coming in and creating a shift, a partial polar shift. We don't know. So right now it's speculation. But what's interesting, it's good to understand that these things might be happening, and that we were told thousands of years ago that in the latter days, in the end times, we would see this kind of stuff. And lo and behold, stuff's manifesting. Why should that surprise us?
Well, that's true, too. Why should that surprise us indeed? Lynn, where can people get watchers to?
LAMarzulli.net, LAMarzulli.net. That's where the you can watch a trailer there, or you can go right to the blog site and watch a special trailer that we made just for the Coast to Coast. I honestly, George, I realize I'm hyping the product and people go, oh, he's just trying to sell something. But the point, we made this film literally for nothing. It's a labor of love. Richard and I made it as a labor of love. And he spent hours editing this thing. And I think it's cutting edge. And it's the only film that I'm aware out there like it that's showing, trying to wake up people that something is going on, folks, that's unprecedented. If you go to the blog site, you can watch that trailer, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, lamarzulli.wordpress.com. You can watch that trailer right there. I think it's like 11 or 13 minutes. And, you know, check it out yourself.
Well worth watching. We'll be back. We're going to take some phone calls the next couple hours with L.A. Marzulli as we talk about prophecy, end times, and soon to be the Mark of the Beast.